The winter in the gym had paid right off. First hot one on the common, he knows what he's got. The abs are ripped, the pecs are stacked. When you've got it going on, you just have to get it off. Yes, like a good Boy Scout, he's come prepared, of course, with his orange Calvin Kleins peeking out the top of his shorts. A none too subtle suggestion to give the ladies pause. But what's this? Here's something he ain't bargained for. Two brash Aussies, very buff, with gay hair. Come out of nowhere, capturing all the girls' attention with a sickening display of cartwheels and somersaults. The challenge has been set from man to man. He puts down his Magnus, feigns the yawn, bends his body into a ball. When all the eyes of the common are set upon him, rises up and starts walking on his hands. So, I wasn't long in Clapham. I realised, to tell you the truth, I wasn't spiritually aligned to the place. But I did take some positives out of the situation, as I always like to do, and I did have a very warm, strong, enriching relationship with my landlord. Pimp my landlord. Rent is never an easy thing to pay. It's a lot of dough you'll not see again. Dead money, I've heard it called, and for most tenant-landlord relations, that's true. But not for me and Troy. Every time he got his hands on my dosh, he was like a kid in a sweet shop, or a wannabe player in his first drop top. Each month, there'd be a new silver chain around his head, or a flashy mobile phone with the latest spec. Troy was a crap landlord in most respects, but I had the greatest of regard for how he blew me money.
The typical tourist doesn't expect to come into contact with London's workplaces on a visit, but they really couldn't be much more wrong in that assumption. London is essentially an open plan office, and the language of the workplace, unfortunately, continues to creep into previously good conversations and ruin them entirely. I've gone on dates with girls in London and I can't help feeling I'm considered more of a business interest than a love interest. This is called the forlorn feminist future-gazing treatment. So we don't talk, you just say kind regards a lot. Keep your face locked in that drawer, man, stern. Sure, you're going places since you gave up the silly faces. For sure, for sure. But can you just do one thing for me? If all this cybernetics was truly required to break the glass ceiling, will you please employ your laser gun instead? Many people talk about the increasingly repressive nature of our government, but I think if you go around Westminster without being blinkered by Lonely Planet's vision of phone boxes that happen to be painted red and overgrown grandfather clocks, you realise that the people most oppressed by government are the people who work in government. This is called Civil Service Development Programme. The muddled bureaucrat sits quieter at desk than usual. No one asks why though, since Outlook's still open. But the muddled bureaucrat is definitely quieter than usual. In fact, the muddled bureaucrat is dead. Considering the remit of the charity sector runs the gamut between colon cancer and starving African children, it's amazing that it's such a glamorous area of work in this city. Something that I've obviously experienced. But it's also a place where I've discovered that the bad guys are only winning because there are no superheroes anymore, there are only bureaucratic pen pushers. This next poem also features two of the worst rhymes in human history, which I will duly apologise for. It's called Irritable Bowel Syndrome. Evil, despair, point the finger not at RBS, just doing what they do best. Point it to IBS. The kind where a pinky, even an index and middle, is never enough to sit on while saving the world. Spurious symptoms, but miss the fist, fearing the sphincter, rubbering round and round into anus and into gutter, lethargic pace. Saying, use non-bio, said George Montgomery.